He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, December 29th. How are we doing? Hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone's refreshed, relaxed, and feeling good after the sports weekend. We're certainly feeling that way. I think refreshed is a loose term for what I went through over the weekend. Hopefully we're back at it. For you Bulldog fans, like I'm sure many of you have, I'm sure you're back from Tucson, sunny Tucson or cloudy Tucson, or more like it, from when you were there. I made my way back last night. I got back at around 9 p.m., so I'm still feeling it, as people are feeling it out there, I'm sure. But good to be here. We got one show. That's it this week. And we're off again for the holiday break, but we got 2 hours to discuss everything in the sports world. We were gone for a week. We got a lot to cover, including the NFL weekend, including a Fresno State football game to talk about. So we got a lot to get into. We got the college football playoff coming up this week. We got all kinds of bowl games, bowl mania stuff going on. And then we're going to be back next Monday for another edition of the show, which I believe is only an hour due to the FCS championship. We broadcast that this year. So we'll have that game on our airwaves. So a lot of moving parts. And as you heard Tony, that's his, he'll be off the air a little bit too as well. So Tony D show, which by the way, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays on 1430. You listen to him 2 to 3 p.m. on those days. We'll also have Paul Mutter's show, which you can listen to on Saturdays, the Central Valley Sports Report. To my understanding, I think he's back this Saturday from First String Sports. So I believe he'll be back with his show from 10 a.m. to noon. Don't quote me on it, but I think that's good. Anyways, we have a lot to get into. If you want to get into the conversation, Lee's Air Hotline is where you reach us, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us. The Lee's Air Weather Check, sitting at 51 degrees and a little sun out there for y'all. Gotta love it, right? 51 degrees, a little chilly in the air. Could see some more rain on the horizon. Looks like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of that should be in the cards as far as that's concerned. So enjoy the sun while you got it. Got a couple more hours with it. We're streaming live on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all that. ESPN Fresno, be sure to check that out over there. And be sure to check out our website as well, 1430ESPNFresno.com. We're streaming there, our app as well, ESPN Fresno. Let's get into it. Come on, we're wasting too much time here. Over behind the glass today is Tim Veer, who is, I'm sure, as pumped as anyone to talk sports today after the goings of the weekend. But first, it's a Monday show, so I always have to ask the first question that I always do, which is to our producer here today, Tim Veer, how was your weekend?
Yeah, weekend was good, if you consider the game last night. Oh, my goodness. I was at a dinner last night, and thankfully, somehow, the game was being broadcast on a tiny little TV in the corner, and I was just watching. My head was glued to that game, but yeah, otherwise, yeah, had a good weekend. Friends came down, and we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, that certainly was quite the game last night, the 49ers and the Bears, and I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. A lot of people are going to, you get to game of the year territory and talk of that. I don't know if we're there yet. It certainly was great offensive output. I don't know if the defenses necessarily gave us sterling efforts in terms of that.
No.
We don't need to talk about that right now. Maybe a little bit later.
Totally not.
But what a win for the Niners. What a game for the Niners to get. And what a setup we have now is it is winner take all Saturday for the 49ers and the Seahawks in Santa Clara with those black rivalry jerseys, which would be phenomenal. But it's just a play here or there that can change the course of seasons and change the course of teams' destinies in terms of the National Football League. And last night was another version of that. And I'll be completely frank. I was listening to the game mostly. I was hearing the analysis of it. It just kind of felt like the Niners offense really could find any which way they could to move the football. And Christian McCaffrey with maybe his best game of the year. Is that potentially fair to say?
Yeah, I don't think maybe. I think it is clearly his best game of the year.
Yeah. His best game of the year. Jake Tonkich's best game of the year, even despite his game-winning touchdown against Seattle at the beginning of the season. And also, we have what I think, and I'm going to proclaim this right here, right now, I think it was Kyle Shanahan's best game of the year. And I point to a situation where I thought this is a veteran coach that is in control of the moment, in control of the situation, in control of the game. And I don't, it's a little moment for people who don't really pay attention to the mechanics of how the game goes. But to me, I felt like it was a veteran's move, savvy move for Kyle Shanahan in the final play. The Bears were lining up for that final play at the 4-yard line. And they were a little rushed out of the timeout. And I noticed it. And they were lining up. And there was suddenly 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. And Kyle, typically these coaches love to just look at the look and call the timeout. But he let it play out. And the Bears looked discombobulated. Didn't look organized. Caleb was backing up. And then didn't connect on the pass to the end zone, which then eventually gave the Niners the victory. And that moment to me screamed like in control of the moment for me, the Kyle Shanahan Zen master at the moment here for this 49ers team, and kind of epitomizes just the calm of the storm that surrounds this team so many weeks in a row now. And I thought that was a very, like, it gave me Belichick vibes in terms of not calling the timeout, understanding what your opponent's going through. And the Bears, who, by the way, aren't necessarily strangers of those crazy situations, but still young as a team. I think he allowed the youthfulness of the Bears and the lack of experience in that department for seasons on. He let that play out, and I thought that was a great move last night for the 49ers to win a ball game like that.
Well, you have one team that is clearly doesn't have that much playoff experience. Ben Johnson has come in there, and this is their first year of real success in the last couple of years since basically the Mitch Trubisky, his best year in Chicago. But other than that, I thought that Kyle Shanahan played an absolutely stellar game. This is a man that has been there, done that with this team, and in a playoff like setting, I thought he coached very well, especially with the amount of players that we keep harping upon were down in this game as well.
Yeah, it was a fascinating chess match between two offensive wizards out there, and let's be honest, they were spinning their defenses around in the whole game and per se and how that turned out, but it's we'll get to the defenses momentarily in terms of it. But the other top tier performance, we mentioned it with McCaffrey's performance, we mentioned it with Kyle Shanahan's performance, but also last night, I think there's a different feeling to, I know how good Brock Purdy has been in the past, but that's a different level right now in performance for me that I have not seen, but has been deservingly given in terms of what his extension warrants. And I think last night kind of proved it a little bit in terms of his ability to be calm and be in control, to throw the pick six at the very beginning of the game and to bounce back and do that kind of performance. I don't think Brock Purdy 2 years ago is doing that. And I think this is one of his greatest games he's ever played at quarterback. And you hope that it continues to have the momentum moving forward against a Seahawks defense that will, I would say, be more challenging than maybe this Bears defense can be in terms of what they will present. But he felt so in control of the game last night. It was Steve Young-like, if you think back to a certain era of 49ers. But my goodness, Brock Purdy was so in control of his entire football game. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, and it, just to put into perspective how great Brock Purdy was last night, he is the first player since Michael Vick to have three pass TDs and two rush TDs in a primetime NFL game. This guy had, I mean, back-to-back games with five touchdowns. I think he's like one of only six players in NFL history to do something like that. So he is playing at a level that I think not many other players are even compared to him are playing like. This is the best stretch, in my opinion, that Brock Purdy has had. And I agree with you that this was the best game that Brock Purdy has played in a 49ers uniform since that NFC Championship game 2 years ago. So if Brock Purdy can keep playing like this, and I think this is the whole thing about the whole talking point about the 49ers at this point, if Brock Purdy can play like he did, they will always have a chance to win the game because of the coaching staff that they have, and Brock Purdy playing at the, and Christian McCaffrey as well, playing at an MVP-like level. But otherwise, it is going to be rough sledding for these 49ers. But since he's came back, 6-0, and they've been playing, I mean, ever since that Panthers game, he's been playing so good.
I find it interesting to do the thought exercise of, if I replaced this, if the whole entire game played out, and I just replaced the quarterbacks with Mahomes and Allen, I feel like we'd be doing a whole different, I feel like the national media would be having a whole different conversation. I don't know. I think people enjoyed the game last night, but I don't know if the amount of respect to these two quarterbacks that played last night with Caleb Williams and Brock Purdy, if you replaced it with Mahomes Allen, we'd be like, oh my God, oh, like the most insane thing out there in terms of.
There are gods among us playing quarterback.
Exactly.
And stuff
like
that.
But yes. I feel like if you put that scenario in front of you, and I'm like, it's Caleb Williams versus Brock Purdy, which we could be having for 10 years in the National Football League in the NFC right now, right? Because I also kind of watched the Bears last night in terms of how they went about this football game, and I described it to you, Tim Veer, and I don't know what a better way to kind of describe the Bears right now, which is just I'm watching a baby, a toddler recite Shakespeare to me. Like, I don't compute exactly what I'm seeing other than I know it's very good at what it's doing right now, and yet right now the body of work in terms of it is certainly I'm just trying to like comprehend what I'm watching there in terms of that. But what do you make sense of the Bears right now?
I think the Bears are just a team that they have a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the ball, but that defense really did get exposed last night. This is a team that I think that can make a run in the next couple of years, but we don't really know what this team is going to look like in the playoffs because we don't really have a precedence behind that. This team with Ben Johnson, yes, they have looked very good. They've had some big wins over the Packers versus some other teams in the NFC North, but this team still has to go through that playoff success. And until we see that, I don't think that we can really call this Chicago team a contender. But if we want to just look at it in the positive sense, this Chicago team, Caleb Williams looked great. Luther Burden, I thought, looked very good last night. I think he had a really he had a coming out party at that point of the game with his touchdowns. DJ Moore, I thought, didn't play as well, but the running game was still good. Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift playing really well. They are the two players that really set up this offense. I think if DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai are not playing at an elite level, I don't think this team has a chance to win. And I think that's all this is all because of Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson has been a Coach of the Year contender all year long for a reason. And I think that he can lead them to success, but we still need to see it in terms of that offense doing it in the playoffs.
Yeah, certainly. And it's an offense against, well, here's where the worm turns a little bit in this conversation, right, Tim Veer? Because we can make hay about how great the Niners win was last night, and certainly the offense and what their flowers deserve. And I'm not here to kill Robert Saleh or the defense or anything like that, but man, it did not look like this team could stop anybody in terms of that defensive output. And now the concern is, can this be sustainable for what could potentially be four more games if the Niners do get a win on Saturday? Potentially five more games if you're talking about the whole playoff run through, if you get the wild card and you end up falling to Seattle. That's the question that I think is going to be on the 49er fans' minds here the rest of the way is, And I put it here, will this defense cost this team a Super Bowl run? Is that going to be what hinders this team moving forward? And I think for sure the answer is yes. The question is, how much will this defense hinder this offense and hinder this team's ability to get as far as it can go? I understand Fred Warner potentially is on the horizon. I'll see it when I believe it in terms of, or I'll believe it when I see it that in terms of that situation. But I sit there and I watch last night and I'm like, man, 42-38 ain't sustainable if you're going to do it for four more games and try to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, I think that this defense is just the sum of its parts. You don't have your two best players. You have a lot of young rookies or second-year players playing. And you have a high-powered offense behind probably... I would put Ben Johnson in the same light as Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan in terms of offensive play callers. So you have that on the other end, too. So I think that this defense is going to be an issue. It has been an issue for the whole year. It's going to be up to this offense to really churn out points week in, week out. And they've been doing that against some good defenses over the last couple of weeks. But playoffs is a whole different monster, and we'll see how they do. In terms of the question of will it cost them a Super Bowl, I think if the 49ers were to lose a playoff game, I don't see the offense being an issue. I think that this offense is humming, even without guys like George Kittle and without guys like Brandon Ayuk. DeMarcus Robinson and Kendrick Bourne and Juwan Jennings and McCaffrey have all stepped up. Juszczyk as well. So I don't see the offense really costing them any game in these playoffs, especially against teams that have some all right defenses. I would say the Packers at this point, I think without Micah Parsons, are a pretty okay defense. I mean, we saw how Derrick Henry ran all over them. Yeah. You have the Rams, who I think they have a decent defense, but I feel like they've had some hiccups over the last couple of weeks.
We'll see what Seattle looks like on Saturday. I think it's what I want to know. What this offense can do against that defense, it's what I want to know immediately. And Tanvir, I think we're going to try to see it in person at some point. I think we may be on site for some potential reactions. So we will let the people know further down the road. Saturday at 5. I love that time. I was so I was so dreading a 5 o'clock Sunday, like, because I'd be just so dead on Monday. But to recover on a Sunday after that 5 o'clock on a Saturday, I am in love with the start time with this Niners Seahawks team. And by the way, people are going to be mad about the Niners push to Saturday. Keep in mind, Seattle's got to fly back from Carolina, and then they got to turn around and do a road game in Santa Clara. I think the Seahawks are in a much tougher spot than where the Niners are.
Yeah,
in terms of playing a Saturday game.
People are going to be mad that this wasn't the Sunday game, but I said it before. I don't see us going back-to-back Sunday night football
games. When you have potentially Aaron Rodgers' final game, you put it on Sunday night. That's just my rationale. That's what I think the NFL's rationale is. If it's potentially Aaron Rodgers' last game for what he's done for the league, I understand why he's there Sunday. But that's just me.
For us, it's great.
We'll take it.
For some of the fans, that they might be upset this isn't the last game of the regular season.
Yeah, I get it. Let's take a break. We'll do a who's been naughty, who's been nice from this NFL weekend. Got a lot to get to. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. What a weekend of NFL action. What a weekend we had in terms of all the things that kind of got settled in there, and how the pieces are falling together now, the pieces of the puzzle of the playoff race. To me, I'm a little disappointed we don't have as much in terms of the do-or-die nature of this Week 18. We'll get to that next hour in terms of a Benatti Blitz. Didn't know we would have one today, but we're going to have one. But there's a lot to react to with this weekend. By the way, we're going to get to the bowl game. We'll talk about Fresno State bowl game, top hour number two. I just want to get to that Niners conversation as it was on the top of our minds there as well. So, Tanvir, are you ready to find out? We're a little past Christmas now, but we got to do a who's been naughty, who's been nice. We got a few more weeks of this. So Where do you want to start? Who's been naughty or who's been nice?
I think we should save the best for last to end the year with some nice. So let's start with the naughty and though, so we can end with the nice.
All right, let's start with the naughty. We're going to go to our first naughty, which will be our buddy Daniel would love me to talk about this team. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, with the biggest egg laid over the weekend in terms of their loss to the Cleveland Browns. I love the tweet, or was it tweet, or somebody said, Myles Garrett said something about they were worried, more worried about stopping him for the sack record for TJ Watt than maybe winning the football game.
Yeah, he said it himself.
Yeah, yeah, I think he did. I just didn't know DK Metcalf meant that much. I don't know if that was totally what was the problem for the Steelers, but when you have a chance to go out and win a division and not have to worry about a game, week 18 game against the Baltimore Ravens, whatever that means, you go ahead and take care of it against a division rival. And I had a feeling that game was going to get squirrely for the Steelers just in terms of the defensive side. I didn't think it was going to be that pitiful for the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of it. Looking completely lost on offense as opposed to like the last couple weeks, I felt like Pittsburgh was, I'm not saying rounding a corner, but it felt like there was some sort of competency there, at least a little bit with Aaron Rodgers. But this feels like two steps back, and now I don't know what to trust with Pittsburgh. And they are by far my biggest loser of the weekend in terms of, well, there's other losers. I may have omitted one out there, and we'll talk about them. But I got Pittsburgh here as my first naughty.
You want to talk about a team that had it all in their hands, and they probably, in my opinion, I think they are going to squander it. Mike Tomlin loves his 9-8 record, oh, yeah. So we'll see how that finishes
up. It's a new
6-7. The issue with this team, right? And the issue with this team is they have zero creativity with their offensive style. Arthur Smith is not a great offensive coordinator
you tell
within
me
this system.
Pitch sweep, toss sweeps to Jonnu Smith ain't working for you?
I mean, there is zero motion. There is zero, trying to get people open. This is just straight lines. Let's split everybody 2x2, 5 wide. It doesn't matter. There is no creativity with trying to get people open. And you have some great players. Jaylen Warren, I think, is a great rusher, along with Kenneth Gainwell. We saw that in the Lions game, right? And then you have three tight ends. And I think that the loss of Darnell Washington really did hurt them in this game because that's a big tight end, big receiving threat that can really just open a game up, especially if a game is not going in your favor, especially against a good defense like Cleveland has. So I think that's the biggest issue that the Steelers face, and they're going to have to play a really good team in the Ravens that are coming off of a massive win against the Packers.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a little bit. But let's go to my first but nice, and that is, why not give kudos? I've been very hesitant in the amount of kudos I give to my own team I root for, the New England Patriots. But I think I know it's the Jets, and I know it's what they are. But I think they deserve credit for the Patriots in order, first of all, doing the first half of the business of closing out the division, and then the second half of the business of the Eagles taking care of the Buffalo Bills, at least, and putting themselves in a position to win a division from a team that won 4 games last year. So great job by New England, by the way. Just perfect offense through that first half. I know what the Jets defense is. I get it. But you couldn't ask for anything better. I just wish Drake May didn't play one more snap in the third quarter. Outside of that, he got rocked one time. But despite all of the missing pieces too, I was a little worried about some of the missing offensive pieces that were out there, but it really, I mean, Eftim Chisholm, what up, showing up in a football game. I mean, the Patriots are just doing it with guys that you would not even believe would make an NFL roster. And it's kind of feeling like the Patriot way just a little bit, and just ho-humming the Jets there at home, 42-10.
Yeah, I mean, it is the Jets, sure, but you get touchdowns in your first 7 drives. That is going to be impressive against any NFL team, and that's exactly what the Patriots did. I certainly think they needed a game like this to have some momentum going into the playoffs, and Drake May has put himself back into the MVP conversation, regardless of what we want to say about the team that he was playing against. Shout out to Ramondre Stevenson. I think that that guy had a really good game. He was on my fantasy team for a league that I needed to win in the final, and we're hoping Kyle Pitts has a great game. But Ramondre Stevenson, fantasy aside, I mean, this guy had a lot of fumbling issues early on in the year, and I think with Travion Henderson taking over that running back one role, I think Ramondre going back to the RB2 role has really helped him be a game changer when Travion does come out.
Patriots finish undefeated on the road, by the way. Clinch an undefeated road season. The only other times they did that was 07 and 2016. Guess what? They went to the Super Bowl both times.
Are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting they may go to the Super Bowl this year. I'll do it. Fine. But, you know, it's been phenomenal. Unfortunately, they're fighting for home field. Maybe that's the wrong way to go about it. Maybe they do need to lose this game against Miami and get more road game possibly in the playoffs. Who knows? I'm joking. Let's go to another Benatti. I'm deciding who I want to go. All right. I'm going to go to Josh Allen. Here. I mean, it is hard to kill the guy from the Central Valley, but it is now 2 weeks in a row of some kind of there's a little weird nature to where I feel like he's not totally 100% in terms of his health on the football field, but he once again had some catastrophic sacks in this game against Philadelphia, had some catastrophic turnovers in terms of it. He did bring his team back into a position to win this football game at the very end against Philadelphia. But, like, let's be honest with this team. This should be a team that leans on the run and finds ways to make plays down the field like a Buffalo Bills team can do with a quarterback like Josh Allen. And it just confounds me how much they have an inability to move the football. And I think I have to be critical of Josh, especially in situations where he took some really horrible sacks in some really inopportune times to keep points off the board. So poor performance from Josh Allen. I get it. The Eagles defense is a good defense, but I got to imagine they had a better opportunity to score there than 12 points yesterday.
Yeah, and I think I want to highlight more. The Eagles defense is really good. I think that we have come under this lull that the Eagles are just a bad team because their offense isn't clicking on all cylinders. But this team on defense has two of the best corners in the league in Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Jalen Phillips coming back, or excuse me, not coming back, but being added to this team has been a big help. And for Josh Allen, I think the biggest negative that I could say is him not being able to connect with, I believe it was Khalil Shakir in the back of the end zone.
Streaking back there.
On that two-point conversion. And they didn't need to do that two-point conversion if the extra point is not blocked.
Do you go for it there?
I do. I think that with Josh Allen, he's the best quarterback in the NFL when he is clicking on all cylinders. That man in the fourth quarter has two touchdowns. I think you ride that momentum and try to win the game. And they had the play there. It was wide open. He just did not connect on in that area.
What do you think of the argument? I've heard arguments that they should have gone for two on the first touchdown and made it 13-8 potentially. And if you got to 13-8, a field goal from Philly wouldn't have killed you out of the game as opposed to obviously missing, you know. It just math tells you maybe they should have gone for two instead of having the blocked extra point. But
yeah, those are some hindsight Henrys, I would say. I don't think that this is going to be.
I'm not saying McDermott's the greatest coach in terms of decision making.
No, for sure not.
With that, let's go to a Benice here. And I'm going to. Hey, better late than never, Derrick Henry, in terms of having your best game of your fantasy output this year. Boy, John Harbaugh. You had that sitting on your bench for the final 7 minutes last week, and then you go put him out there, and he goes, what, 215 and, like, four touchdowns? Is that what he had? 216 and four touchdowns on that Green Bay Packer defense. Oh, which
36 carries.
Yeah, I mean, that's giving the ball to the hot hand, if I ever saw it in terms of it. But where was this all year? I mean, why couldn't the Ravens just do this with Derrick Henry? I mean, I get it. You're ramping up for a playoff run, but, I mean, you are really pushing it in terms of final game of the year. You got to have it. But Derrick Henry, that was another monster performance from him against the Packer defense that I thought I kind of respected until now, which they're starting to fade in terms of the injury situation. But what a performance from him, and the Ravens needed it, and now they're in a position to potentially win a division next week because of him.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, still one of the best running backs in the NFL. I certainly think that the Ravens falling behind in games very early was an issue, and that's why Derrick Henry wouldn't get the ball as often. That was not the issue in the Patriots game. They were up, and they just let it go. So I think he may have overcorrected a little bit with the 36 carries. I think that's a bit much for one game, but still, you got to ride the hot hand, and Derrick Henry with Tyler Huntley back there, he's going to be your number one option, especially with a backup quarterback. So, yeah, Derrick Henry, I think that he definitely needs to have a big game on Sunday to give this Ravens team the chance to get into the playoffs. But if they want any sort of success in the playoffs, Derrick Henry is going to have to be this guy in the latter part of his prime, in my opinion.
Let's go to who's been naughty, my final one, and I'm changing one. I'm taking one off here. I originally had the paper. We're going to just the Detroit Lions in general. Just your season's on the line. You need a win and some potential help, obviously, to make the playoffs. But what a whimper this team has come out with in the final 2 weeks of the year, including this game against Minnesota. I get Brian Flores is a very good defensive coordinator and what he can do. But you're seeing the ugly in terms of what this offense has shown the last few weeks. And six turnovers, Jared Goff with one of the worst games of his entire career in this football game. Just a complete no-show, and if I'm a Detroit Lions fan, I am starting to feel worried about the prospects of what this team could be based off of maybe what the Bears have turned into with the support staff that they lost, and now I'm sitting here looking at Dan Campbell calling plays, and they suddenly don't know how to run an offense here, and I wouldn't overcorrect completely from the Dan Campbell is inept without his support staff, but the things need to be figured out with this Detroit team, and Christmas Day was certainly an alarming realization.
Yeah, I think with Goff getting pressured as much as he did, obviously the Vikings with Brian Flores love to rush the passer. He has one of the highest blitz rates for that defense, and when Goff was under pressure in this game, he just could not get the passes, those long concepts that Jamison Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown run, and Jahmyr Gibbs once again was stuffed, and that was the way to win this game. I said this before the Steelers game, you stop Jahmyr Gibbs, you get 20 points, you're going to win this game, and that's certainly what happened again in this one, and it sucks for the Lions because the Packers did lose their game to the Ravens, so it would have been Lions win, Packers loss again, and Lions would have been in the playoffs, and they squandered a moment against a team that is not very good, had a quarterback in Max Brosmer that had 51 passing yards, and that's just inexcusable, especially with the amount of turnovers that they had. Six turnovers on the game, two interceptions by Jared Goff. It just has been the story of their season, and I think this is a complete mismanagement of this team.
They got a lot to figure out. It's going to be interesting because the Lions are going in a very different direction than the other couple of teams in their division, and I would be gravely concerned about what's going on there with Detroit. But
it's a team predicated on offensive line that lost a lot of offensive line help this year, and yep. The guys that they had picked, they just have not panned out over the last 2 years.
Yeah, they're going to figure it out. They need to figure it out, and building an offensive line is not easy. No. Trust me,
you can't just trade for one.
My team. One of the worst offensive lines we've seen in quite some time, and they had to really build it through free agency and draft, and it took a couple of years. So I'm not saying we're a great offensive line, but it takes time, folks. It takes time. Or you just get Trent Williams.
or the Commanders can gift you Trent Williams.
Yeah, that too. All right. Last but nice of the weekend. Let's give it to the New Orleans Saints. Are they my favorite bad team of the football of the NFL season? Like, are they – they've been – surprisingly watchable. I think they've been one of my pleasant surprise. I know the record is what the record is. I think they're 6-10, right? In terms of their record. But I think they've been kind of the most fun bad team out there in terms of like, we know what the talent level is, but like, I think they're the best kept secret in the National Football League. Tyler Shook, another 22 for 27, 333 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. How about a third straight game of 250-plus passing and no picks? Only two other guys have done that in rookie years, C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert. Tyler Shook's plus 250 to win rookie of the year behind Ted McMillan.
Stop it.
I mean, he
has been going crazy, though.
In a world where Tyler Shook, balls out against the Falcons, I wouldn't not consider a vote for him in terms of that. But I think Saints fans got to feel great about where they're at in terms of that quarterback maybe showing up and being a guy, maybe a seasoned rookie, as they say. And I think that game was fun, too, between them and Tennessee. I think there's some bright spots there. But, man, the Saints, who thought that? 6 wins, potentially 7 wins for the Saints?
For a team that has been in cap space hell for the last 5 years, this is a massive pickup for them. And I think the other positive to come out of this four-game winning streak stretch is Chris Olave, I think, is finally back to what we thought Chris Olave could be coming out of Ohio State. Thankfully, he got a quarterback that can hit him in stride down the field. And I think that with Chris Olave being back, and this running game still needs to improve with Alvin Kamara aging out, I think they can fix that in this next upcoming draft. But this Saints offense, I think, has a lot of promise going into the future. The defense, I think they have some nice pieces that they picked up in the last draft. Jonas Sanker, the safety out of Virginia, I think is really good. But the Saints team has been very fun to watch. That Titans game was a very fun watch, regardless of the playoff implications or not. This is more draft implications if you look at these two teams.
Oh, yeah.
But 34-26 with Cam Ward driving down the field. It's very fun. It's a very fun team. And I sent you a tweet yesterday which said, I think the Saints should be considered by the playoff committee to be the NFC South champion. And I thought that was a funny
thing. I think that's certainly their application is being considered. I don't know if they'll quite make it there. But
I concur.
Yeah, it's a fun team. And I'd be paying attention to them next year in terms of, like, I don't know if I would want to play them. It's just kind of where I'm at in terms of that next year.
But I also think they had a tough start to the season. I mean, if you they were matched up with the NFC West, Seahawks, Niners, Rams. They got losses.
They had Buffalo.
Bills,
they had New England.
Patriots, Bears, Bucks, when they were, like, really good. So it's a tough start.
Yeah. So that's our Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice of the week, and we'll get one more next week in terms of that. But what if I had an honorable mention, just a little Cam Dicker honorable mention there from the L.A. Chargers. I mean, what, they lose by 4 and he cost them 4 points there in terms of missed kicks? That's just not going to get it done. I'm a little disappointed the Chargers couldn't get over the hump with that Texans game. That was such a weird game. I was kind of half watching it. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I was half watching it. I was at the Arizona Bowl when I think the games kicked off virtually at the same time. So I was kind of more preoccupied with Snoop and his antics as opposed to whatever Nico Collins was going for 75 yards down the middle of the Chargers defense that I praised a week ago. So let's take a break. When we come back, we might flip some things here in the segment, because I think it's weird if we preview week 18 without talking and predicting this game tonight. So I want to talk Rams Falcons tonight just quickly. What's at stake tonight? What we'll see potentially, and we'll make a prediction tonight for this game, and then we're going to move into bowl game talk of the next hour. So Rams talk next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number one wrapping up. Hour number two coming up. We got Rams Falcons coming up after this one, after our show at 5 o'clock from Atlanta, our final Monday night game of the year, final Rams away game of the year. They got one more home game and then playoffs. Let's do a daily spread brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams this season, go up the mountain. Try your luck at Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino today. 7-point favorites the Rams are on the road in Atlanta. Atlanta, there's such a strange wrinkle to this game playoff-wise, and it doesn't involve the Rams. Rams are trying to hold serve right now in the NFC West, and if they win, that would, I believe, if they went out, that would assure that the loser of Seahawks Niners is the sixth seed, I believe. I think that assures that. So that's where the Rams sit. The Rams can win out and basically be the five seed. I think that's what's at stake for them. In terms of a loss, which would mean the Falcons would win tonight, the Falcons strangely can control a playoff team's destiny. The Panthers are tied to this Falcons team and what their results are. Tim, have you heard this wild playoff scenario with the Falcons?
No.
If the Falcons win out,
okay,
no matter what happens in Carolina and Tampa, Carolina will make the playoffs.
Wow.
If the Falcons win,
due to strength of victory.
Because they'd be in a three-way tie for first. The Falcons, the Panthers, and the Bucks at 8-9. And because the Panthers and Bucks split, and because the Falcons and Bucks split, and because the Panthers went 2-0 against the Falcons,
that
three-way tiebreaker would go to the favor of the Panthers. And the Panthers could lose Saturday and still make the playoffs if the Falcons win tonight and win next week against New Orleans. How about that?
That is wild.
So, Panther fans right now are sitting there rooting for the Falcons tonight in terms of that scenario. After all of that preamble, though, you got to believe the Rams can take care of business tonight in this one in terms of this matchup. You know, there's a slight concern of Bijan Robinson being Bijan Robinson tonight against this Rams defense that, you know, we saw them give a big big run play against, what was it, Kenneth Walker that busted through in terms of the Seattle team, which it feels forever ago we saw this Rams team play on that Thursday night. But if you're looking at matchup situations and kind of an immobile Kirk Cousins sitting in the pocket here and what this Rams defense pass rush can present and all the different kind of scenarios that Kirk Cousins is going to face, you got to imagine that the Rams can kind of ball hawk here in terms of that. But on the flip side, I think there's a way this Rams team can kind of bully the secondary of this Falcons team, especially with what Puka presents. I don't believe Devontae is playing tonight. Is that correct?
No, he is not.
So it is just the Puka night. I need some points from Puka tonight to at least secure my money back in a third place fantasy game. So come on, Puka. In terms of that.
I don't think he's going to let you down today.
There's a weird, like, McVay, does he pull off the gas just a little bit to preserve the people?
You think they'll win so bad that he will not even be mentioned?
I'm more thinking, like, where's the motivation for McVay to win the rest of the year when he wants his team healthy the rest of the year?
True.
Conversations having. Is there a slight conversation to that tonight, do you think, between the Rams?
I think the Rams would much rather play the NFC South champion than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Or the
Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
So I think that they are going to have to at least try to win these next two games. I don't think you're going to have to try that hard to beat the Cardinals next week. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are in the shot for a one pick. So I think they're somewhat in. I don't know if they're totally. I don't know where the number one pick.
I think the Raiders did their thing.
I think the Raiders could still win, and there are some teams floundering down there that
for sure
could catch them. But I don't know. I thought the Patriots had the one pick locked, and then they had some weird tiebreaker a couple years ago with Washington. I think it was when Jaden Daniels was up in the draft, and I was like, we lost to Washington, so we should be worse than Washington. I still didn't understand that tiebreaker.
Scenario. It's a whole strength of schedule thing.
Yeah, it's gross. Anyways, I don't see a scenario talent-wise, ability-wise, and coaching ability-wise that this Rams team is going to falter in a game like this. It's just a matter of motivation. I think the Rams are motivated to play whoever wins that South NFC South, whether it's Carolina or Tampa. And what's interesting, if you think about it, because I think if you're going to really read the tea leaves here between where the scheduling has kind of gone, I think they're going to make whoever loses the San Francisco game or whoever the Rams play, whoever wins that NFC South is going to play Saturday the next week in the wild card, and they're going to really load up the NFC schedule next Saturday or the following Saturday. So I think the Rams are going to want to rest up as much as possible. I would guarantee you see starters sit against Arizona next week. Like, Jimmy G can beat Arizona next week. I think there's no question in that.
I don't know about all that.
Come on. You can't give...
I don't trust Jimmy G at all.
I know, you know, you have tough memories.
I have battle scars from Jimmy G.
Yeah. I feel good about a Rams win tonight. Do they cover?
I think they win, and I think they cover. I think that this is more of a game of what will this team do to get back on track. I think they've had a couple of hiccups over the last couple of weeks, and sure, they've been what we've said, the quote-unquote best team in the NFL, but they're not going to be a top four seed this year.
Yeah.
They're going to have to most likely play all road games up to the NFC Championship, Super Bowl, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So It's a tough ask, I think, for the Rams to just go in there and sit their starters next week, because I feel like they need the momentum to continue into the playoffs, because I think they have faltered a little bit over the last couple of weeks.
I think they had a situation where they fell to the four seed because they sat guys, but it really didn't matter when they beat Minnesota. Like, they wanted, I guess they were rather having Minnesota than whoever they, I don't know, it was a strange situation. I remember them like kind of being a three seed, but then they rested guys. They ended up being the four seed playing Minnesota, but I think they kind of liked the matchup of that. I think on the flip side, I liked the matchup of what they could do against, I mean, especially, we'll get to our picks. I don't know how Tampa's getting in with how they're doing in terms of that. Maybe that was another team we could have been naughty to, Tanvir, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, that was the easy pick.
Yeah, but let's be frank. I didn't listen to the game. I didn't watch any of the highlights. I don't even know how I could be critical of the Buccaneers when I have no idea.
I would have ripped him a new one.
Yeah,
it was that bad.
Okay.
Against the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, maybe we get to that in the Benatti Blitz when we get to it there. But Rams. Rams win. Rams cover this tonight. That's where we got picks. I think we're both there, Tim Veer. And let's make it uninteresting tonight in terms of this game. Rams need one. I think Rams need like a 34-9 win, just something like that.
Hey, that's Seahawks beat them 37-9. So this will be interesting how they kind of match up with that kind of performance a couple weeks ago. But the Falcons have won the last two.
Well, here's the other motivating factor, too. Rams want to better their draft pick because they have the Falcons draft.
Exactly.
So that's...
Which is one of the weird ways that I think that they've come back and try to make it better.
Yeah. So actually, Sean McVay is going to go gun blazing tonight. Let's get this dub. All right, let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, December 29th. Hope you're doing well. One more hour before Monday Night Football between the Rams and the Falcons. Tavier, I'm watching Kirk Cousins warm up, and is there ever more of a candidate for the Pittsburgh Steelers after Aaron Rodgers retires for Kirk Cousins to go to?
I don't know if Steelers fans can go through another.
I'm hearing that Steeler update. I was hearing the ESPN update right before. I thought I'm just sitting there like, man, hey, if the Steeler fans want to feel more torture, Kirk Cousins is going to be sitting there right for you.
Dude, imagine Arthur Smith with Kirk Cousins.
Woo! Hey, we did, didn't we?
There are no words to describe how horrible that would
be. Did we have that, or did Kirk come a year later than Arthur?
Maybe.
Was that last year?
It might have been, low-key, now that I think about it.
Like, I think we did.
Dude, that totally just, that whole period never came up into my mind. I think they might have been together.
I think they missed by a year. I legit, because we're talking, who's the... Radler? No, not Radler. What is his name?
He's Cincinnati quarterback, right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh my gosh, I can't remember either.
Yeah, wasn't great. Wasn't great. weren't they? I don't even. He lost to Josh Dobbs, who like was out of football.
Desmond Ridder.
Ridder. Yeah, the Riddler.
The Riddler.
Yeah. Anyways, what an interesting game. What an interesting game football is. Let's talk about Fresno State, speaking of interesting games in football, and the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. Tanvir, I was at the game. I went to Tucson. What a phenomenal bowl experience, at least from the outside looking in. I had a lot of fun. I thought it was branded well. I thought, by the way, great job by the bowl folks out there in Tucson. They know how to put on a party. That town, I've never been to Tucson before. I don't know if you've ever been to Tucson before.
Just drove through it.
Yeah. Nice little spot. Nice little joint. You got some. I had the best Mexican food down there. I had a mojajete with octopus and shrimp.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to show you a picture.
That's got to be crazy.
It's gnarly.
Was that your first time eating octopus?
I think I've had octopus in the sushi variety.
You think you've had octopus?
No, I've had octopus. Okay. I've had octopus in the sushi variety. I've not had octopus in the preparation that I had, which was the large tentacle coming out of the bowl in a just delicious stew of wonderful flavor. But what a game to be at. The Bulldogs, of course, showing up against Miami of Ohio. Miami won this game last year. Going away. I think they destroyed Colorado State, if I'm not mistaken. That's what everyone was talking about, because the Tucson folks who lived there were like, all right, we rooted for Miami last year. We're going to root against them because we want a new team to win. And so it felt like the crowd of the town was for Fresno State in this game on Saturday. And indirectly or directly, it affected the play, I would imagine. And Fresno State ended up winning 18-3. Tanvir, you know, that's the second lowest bowl game score this year, also including college football playoff. I can imagine you can guess which was number one.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I totally forgot, but Miami versus Texas A&M.
Involved another Miami team, Miami and Texas A&M.
Those Miami teams, man. They got to start scoring.
Tanvir, how did you watch? Did you get a chance to watch this game, sit down and watch this Arizona? I know the Pop-Tart Bowl was catching the internet by storm at the same time, but and Texans Chargers was happening too. But did you have a chance to sit down and watch this Fresno State game?
Yeah, so I watched the majority of the back end of the game. I thought that EJ Warner looked good, but I think I want to highlight the thing that I've been highlighting all year long. This defense, it is generational in terms of Fresno State football defenses. Of the players that they have on this defensive side of the ball, they're just different. I think that they have churned out an amazing season, and we'll see how this team moves along on that defensive front, because I know they're losing a lot of guys. But in this specific game, I thought Fresno State looked really good. Yes, they didn't really have the touchdowns because Dylan Lynch had to kick four field goals for this team, but otherwise, I still think that this is a good performance. A win is a win. And I think in terms of the Arizona Bowl itself, I think whenever bowl games in this day and age can just make the game and the festivities a little bit more fun, I think it makes the game a little bit better. And I think that with Snoop Dogg being the main sponsor.
You saw his highlight, right?
Yes. Caught the
it was a catch. It was a catch.
It was a little bit of a bobble.
We had the slow-mo version of it. And I'm telling you, it was as electric in the building as it was, I'm sure, watching on the broadcast when people saw him just come on the field. Unfortunately, I tried to ask the Fresno State guys after, and most of them missed it. I don't know. They didn't really have a good response to it. But we can go to the defense first. This defense, second time this season they've allowed 3 points or fewer in a football game. The first time they've had such multiple games since 2021 when they did that twice. Eighth game this season, forcing multiple turnovers, leading the Mountain West in turnovers in that department, and also tied for fifth in FBS. I mean, you're talking, as you say, the ability to take the ball away. Both of them, I believe, both turnovers came from Jakari Embry, where Embry was able to just what a sweet undercut of a route, one-on-one ball down the near sideline from where I was standing. And then, of course, a fumble in a crucial spot where Miami was driving right before the two-minute warning and could not hold on to the football there. And the Bulldogs are able to capitalize, get another field goal, go up 9-3, I believe, was the score at half. It just continues to – I'm going to miss this version of this defense, especially this version of this secondary to me. Like Azealian Hamilton, Jakari Embry, those kind of guys. We'll hopefully have Simeon Harris back in terms of this team. We'll hopefully have we'll lose Cam Braca, I know, as well. Cam Braca had a really nice game as well. He was coming on some routes and getting some nice pass breakups as well. And then on the flip side, the pressure, I mean, who was it? Jason Jacks just absolutely nailing the quarterback from the back there on that fourth down as well. Great dial-up pressures from Coach Benedetto. I said it in my tweet after the game, the defense wins trophies, and had Jaden Pearson holding the trophy at the end of the game. He was happy about it as well. And I couldn't be any more complimentary than what the defense did on Saturday. It was a clinic. It was certainly a clinic.
Yeah, I think think when the game started off with the three punts, I was a little worried that Fresno State could get a little bit of a slow start and maybe Miami of Ohio could pull away because of their early field goal, but it all came back to balanced out, and the interception was massive in that first quarter, and then from there Fresno State just pulled away, and I think that is something that I didn't see much this year. I felt like every time they went behind, I felt like that they wouldn't be able to come back, especially in their four losses this year, but to come back and win this game, I think that kind of changes my viewpoint of this team when they do fall behind.
You want to guess what the quarterback for Miami was, his stat line? Yeah, unless you have it in front of him.
I mean, I won't look at it, but yeah, it was not that good.
6 for 22 in terms of his completion percentage. That sounds like the boy. I was actually telling the people, I'm like, I could see this game kind of going the Boise game when Fresno State beat him, like, what was it, 30-7? Is that what it was?
Yeah, 6, I thought.
30-6? Whoever, they beat Boise. Soundly.
You're at 30-7.
30-7, yeah. They beat Boise that way, and it kind of felt like that game for me in terms of how that game turned out. And EJ, hey, 214 through the air, 16 for 23. I'm not going to say he's the greatest quarterback in Fresno State history, but he did enough to not turn the ball over. Hitting those crossers with Josiah Freeman. By the way, Josiah Freeman, 100-yard yak game for him in terms of his ability to get to the free space.
That catch and run. I believe it was in the
he got
second
wheels.
Quarter. Oh, he got wheels.
That was in the third. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, third quarter. Yeah. Yes. Snoop Dogg was saying he got wheels. He certainly does. And he was off to the races at that point.
I think there's an interesting conversation about Josiah Freeman, who has a year of eligibility left. I'd imagine he would be incentivized one more year and where he can kind of fit. I still think I want him to, like, because there was a throw to the end zone that he didn't quite come up with, one-on-one ball from EJ, and I need him to be a little stronger there in those positions. But for him and his frame to have that ability to go across the field and just beat some guys, I there's a weapon there for me with this wide receiver core that I think certainly needs to be addressed a little bit more in this offseason. There'll be some pieces coming in. Harold Duvall will be a sophomore, you know, when he gets a year into his career. I know J.D. Darrington's out there in terms of a guy who's redshirt in terms of that. But I think there's going to be some needs to address there in terms of helping incentivize where the offense can go. I didn't think the run game particularly really showed up in this one as much. I think there were some decent runs, but I wouldn't say it was the breakaway game that I thought we would get out of our offense. I think Speedy was dealing with a little bit of an injury situation.
Yeah,
still.
Only 4 carries from him, which, you know, you wouldn't necessarily see that if it was a regular season game or Mountain West.
I think he really wanted to play this game twofold in the considering that he played home games at that stadium a year ago, and then he also knows Snoop personally through the Snoop Dogg football, you know, camps and stuff like that. But all in all, will this win – will it move the needle in terms of what guys' decisions will be in terms of transfer portal stuff? I'm sure decisions are made already before it. But will it move the needle in terms of what kind of program Entz is trying to build in terms of what he's developing here? 9-4 start to the season. What, only him and Tedford? I'm trying to remember. Was it winning a bowl game in the first year, I believe, in terms of that? I think that might be the stat. I don't know if he is the most wins. I think him and Tedford are also tied for most wins in a season as a first-year head coach with the bowl game included. Outside of that, though, it's certainly an improvement from a year ago when we were talking about this team just struggling to get to 6-6 record. A much different feeling as for in terms of the palatability of this team being one that I think – got the physicality back in the Valley that I think a lot of people were longing to have. Too much was it flash, I think, a little bit for people out there. It was a flashy team for quite some time. I don't say that's a bad thing, but I think there's a blue-collar nature to Fresno State that I think got its swag back this season with Coach Entz. And to me, when I look at the big picture, what Fresno State put on the product this year, and capitalizing it and putting a exclamation point with the result of this bowl game, I'm very happy with where the direction this team can go, and I can only imagine now that they have a body of work to present to guys at the transfer portal and recruits above that this team is certainly going to look better next year and play a lot better next year and potentially be challenging for what will now be a Pac-12 title. And I hope that is the case next season.
Yeah, I think optics matter whenever you're trying to reel people in, especially recruits and transfers. And I think, what are the optics for this team? They went 9-4 in their first season. They have a really good coaching staff, and they have some big wins under their belt. They won their bowl game. They beat Boise State by 23. I think that there's also, the last thing I wanted to say was opportunity. And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for players that are transferring in to come to this team and get wins under a very good coach. And so I think that this is a perfect storm for Fresno State. Yes, you are losing a lot of players, but I also think that Fresno State should be able to recuperate a lot of the pieces and be able to get some players that will help them play at the level that they did this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
And theoretically, next year, their schedule is pretty easy travel-wise. Do you know how far they potentially could only go as far as Texas State, I think, in the schedule?
Yeah.
In terms of, like, mileage. I don't know if they're on the road with Texas State or whatever. That hasn't been decided yet.
Do they still have to add another opponent? I don't remember if that was still
I don't remember it either. Right now, it's still USC and at San Jose State are the two road games, non-conference right now. And then they have home Sac State and home, oh, God help me, Rice, I think it is.
Yes.
Rice is the other one. So
that USC game, it's going to be fun.
I think we can beat them.
Hey, I do too.
With that defense?
I know, right?
Let's go. All right. Tim Beard, let's take a break. Go Dogs. We'll talk about it more. We'll see what the transfer portal looks like. I imagine it opens next week, right? I'm sure I'll get.
I believe so. It opens early January.
Yeah, so we're going to be ears to the ground on that, and I'm sure we'll be talking to all the people in the know about it. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, it's the Benatti Blitz. We do one final regular season week of this next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are here for week 18. We already made our final pick of week 17. Tim Veer and I are both on the Rams beating the Falcons team tonight. So this will be a very interesting Benatti Blitz. But first of all, Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Wonderful selection of stuff you can get at Grocery Outlet. Be sure to take advantage of that today, especially before you got New Year's parties coming. You got all of that this week, so you want to make sure your food is in order and your beverages are in order for a wonderful New Year's bash. So be sure to get there at Grocery Outlet, your local Grocery Outlet's here today at over at Northwest Store, Downtown, Southeast Store, Sanger, Kerman locations. Appreciate them for being a sponsor here. All right. Tim, are you ready? Week 18 for another Benatti Blitz. Here we go. We rank them worst to first. And then we got stakes. Some of them don't. And we'll lay it out here. And we start with the least likely game I'm going to watch, which is Raiders and Chiefs in Las Vegas. Raiders with the stake here only. If they lose, they get the number one pick. That is a guarantee if that happens. Outside of that, I am out on these two game, these two teams and what they do and playing football. Travis Kelce's final year, I guess maybe potentially his final game might be some of interest, but I'm not there with it. Raiders, Chiefs, put it at the bottom for me.
Yeah.
Oh, and I should pick the Chiefs to win, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. You think, yeah. Well, yeah, the Raiders are going to try to get that first
pick. Oladokun, so. I trust.
I was thinking, no way. But no, I think they will lose. Yeah, I also have Raiders and the Chiefs at the bottom. I think that this Raiders team, they are going to look at a bright future, whether it is Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore. Dante Moore, I hit my mic there. Dante Moore at the quarterback helm. But it will be interesting to see how they move forward in the offseason. But we're not in the offseason yet, so I do not care for this game.
Next up, Bengals and Browns. No stakes in this game. If a Bengal has a blowout and no one's there to see it, does the blowout count in terms of that game?
Does anyone hear it?
Yeah, does anyone hear it? Exactly. Anything like that. I imagine the Bengals will win this. They have no incentive to lose it. I don't know. Whatever. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, I also have this at the second worst game of the week. Cleveland and Cincinnati just generally is never a good game. But in this circumstance, it's really not a good game. I really want to see Joe Burrow and that team really end the season on a high. I feel like the last couple of years has kind of just gone this way. But hopefully they can turn this season around. Excuse me, turn the season around next year. Turn this season around.
A little
around.
Late
They're,
for that.
Yeah, a little late for that. But this is a team that needs some help on the defensive side of the ball. And maybe they can end the season off. I think for Cleveland's sake, Shadur and how he plays will show what they are going to do at the quarterback position going into next season.
Giants and Cowboys in the Meadowlands is next, and no stakes tied to this football game outside of draft positioning. You know, hey, the Cowboys spied out of it. I think what's at stake here, what I think they have to win by 19 to exactly be 8-8-1 and have a 0 point point differential.
Perfectly
so
mid.
If you're watching for that, good luck with that one. Give me the Cowboys to win over the Giants.
I will go ahead and say because the Giants cannot get the first pick anymore, I think the Giants will somehow find a way to fumble a larger pick and somehow win this game. I think there's always one game where a high draft pick finds a way to go lower than they should be, and I think this will be the game. I thought Jackson Dart played really well last week, and I think that this Dallas Cowboys offense, I don't know what they're going to be really playing for. As you said, if they get that point differential, they will be perfectly mid, and I think that's how they end the season. I think that, well, actually, I think they're going to lose this game, so probably not. So we'll see.
We'll see. Who cares? Next up.
Who cares is correct.
Rams and Cardinals. I kind of shrug at this one because we really could have some interesting characters showing up in this football game. What's at stake? The Rams could get the 5 seed with a win, assuming they win tonight. Cardinals are in play for the 1 pick here with a loss if, you know, you see the Raiders and Titans and Jets win throughout. So who knows? I'll trust Jimmy G. I guess the Cardinals aren't incentivized to win here, and they certainly didn't look like it yesterday. Let's go Rams. Why not?
I think the Rams will rest their starters. They'll have this game be really close. I think Trey McBride is going to try and just absolutely smash that receiving record. You know, he beat it last week.
Yeah.
So props to him. I think we haven't really discussed that. So props to Trey McBride. But I think the Rams are also going to win this one. I think they finished the year off as the 5 seed, and they're going to be one of the most dangerous wild card teams that we've ever seen. I have this a little higher because I am an NFC West simp. But otherwise, this has no meaning to me. I think the Rams win this game.
If a tight end sets a receiving record, no one's around to hear it. is it really a receiving record?
Well, sadly, I don't know.
Poor Trey McBride. Hey, you were great on my fantasy team. Next up, Bills and Jets. Bills could get up to the 5 seed with a win and a couple of losses from the Texans and Chargers. Jets could be in play for the 1 pick with a loss and a Raider win and a Titan potential win as well. We'll see. The Jets look like the absolute worst team in the National Football League in a long time. Man, that three wins in 5 games felt like ages ago in terms of it. This defense could be the worst in the history of football as well, especially in terms of the disparity of their lack of interceptions. Tim Veer, you're telling me Josh Allen's sitting out potentially in this game, and yeah. Maybe Mitch Trubisky does throw one finally to the Jets. We'll see. That's at stake. But other than that, I'll go Bills. Why not?
I will revise my list, and I will put this last. There is no reason for me to watch Mitch Trubisky versus Brady Cook. Is that who it is?
Yes.
I don't even remember who the quarterback is at this point. So there is no sense of fun to me. I think this is just dread. So I will put this at last, and I will say the Buffalo Bills win. I think they find a way to still win this game.
Why not? Why not? Next up, Vikings and Packers. And fascinating that these two teams, what's at stake? Nothing in terms of draft positioning other than the Packers are going to be the 7th seed no matter what. The Vikings, why not finish not letting last in the NFC North? You know, hey, Max Brosmer and company with what they patchwork. The Vikings have a lot to figure out in terms of their defense is all right. Malik Willis didn't look totally terrible for the Packers on Saturday, right? I don't know what to go with here. Maybe I'll go Minnesota here. Packers really aren't incentivized to go for it here. This is a strange one. I flip a coin. Give me Vikings.
Have you seen that clip of Joe Biden screaming Minnesota?
Yes.
This is how I feel about this game. I think Minnesota will win. I don't think there's much to be played for here. This will be just short and simple. I think Minnesota wins because of their defense.
There you go. Next up, Patriots and Dolphins in New England. Patriots could get the one seed with a win and the Eagle. Excuse me, I have the wrong list. And the Broncos lost. That's really what's at stake here. They could drop to 3 if they lose and the Jaguars win as well. So the Patriots are incentivized to figure it out in terms of their seeding, incentivized to go for it a little bit, although I would imagine they're gonna look at the scoreboard here and see where kind of things are going. But New England, kind of another ho-hum game for them. The Dolphins don't really show much of a threat in terms of offensive ability. I would imagine that's a get-right, get-healthy kind of game and get stuff up for your playoff run. Patriots should win and will win over the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I think that the only reason why I care for this game, as you said, is because of that seeding sake. I thought the Dolphins looked pretty good against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they could finish their season pretty strong with Quinn Ewers at the helm, which is not a sentence I thought I would be saying at season start. So I think the Patriots will win this game, but I think if the Broncos get out to an insane lead, I could see them resting all their starters and Miami coming back and winning this one. So I would not put this on any parlay if you have it on there.
No, don't bet on this week at all, actually, let's be honest.
Yes.
Next up, Falcons and Saints, my lovable Saints, the New Orleans Saints. Only thing at stake here, the Falcons can give the Panthers a playoff spot if they win out, including this Monday night game we have tonight, and if they beat the New Orleans Saints, whatever happens between Tampa and Carolina wouldn't matter. However, I don't think that's going to happen because I think the Saints are fun. I think the Saints are incentivized to win. I think Tyler Shook is playing really good football, and maybe he steals the Rookie of the Year award here in this football game. Maybe give him 400-plus yards and let it roll in NOLA. Give me the Saints at the Superdome over the Falcons.
Yeah, I think the Falcons will lose this game to the Rams, but I think they will win the game against the Saints. I think that Tyler Shook has had a good year. But I also think Kirk Cousins has kind of rejuvenated this team a little bit over the last couple of weeks. I think this will be probably one of the more fun games to watch. I think with Chris Olave versus Drake London, you have Bijan Robinson on one side. I think these are two teams that are kind of peaking at the wrong time, I would say, because they have a couple of wins under their belt at the end of the year, even though they're not in playoff contention. But I think this will be a fun game. This is my number 5 game of the week, and I think the Atlanta Falcons will win.
Next up, Bears and Lions in Chicago. The Bears can get the 2 seed with a win or an Eagles loss. Lions trying to avoid last place in the NFC North. Someone was joking. I love the eternal struggle between the non-football knowers and the people who don't quite understand the scheduling, and some people celebrating that the Lions are going to get a 4th place schedule, and that only affects 3 games next year.
Yeah, I'd never understand this whole logic about the last place schedule when, it, as you said, it is only about 3 games. I had a gripe about this today.
It's all on rotation. It's not the Patriots' fault they had what they had. Anyways, lucky to get the year again. Anyways, Chicago looked impressive. Tough loss last week. Does the 2 seed matter to them? I would imagine they want to play Green Bay again as opposed to Rams or Niners or Seahawks or whoever they would face. But I think that's enough incentive for them to want to win this football game at home in Chicago, and why not bury those Lions? I'm sure you're not happy with how that first game went back in week 2, so why not give it to them here in week 18?
Yeah, I think the Bears are going to have a point to prove. I don't know if the Lions will try and play spoiler. I know that they played spoiler to the Packers on Sunday Night Football a couple years back when Aaron Rodgers played his last season with the Packers. They can kind of do the same thing here, dropping the Bears from a 2-seed to a 3. If I were the Bears, I would much rather – it's kind of pick your poison. Would you rather play a Packers team that you are a division opponent against, or would you rather play an NFC West team? And I think if I had to choose and I was the Bears, I would rather play the Packers than the team that just put 42 on my head. So I think the Chicago Bears will win this game, but I think it will be very tight. And, yeah, this is kind of middle of the road for me.
Next up, Eagles and Commanders in Philadelphia. The Eagles who – continue to confound their fans of the way they win football games. An impressive win, but I would guarantee you, you talk to Eagle fans, they're just not feeling any sort of great about their offense. This is a get-right game against the Commanders team that they played really, you know, okay against a couple weeks ago. They could get the 2 seed with a win and a Bears loss. That's what's at stake for Philadelphia, although you could get into the scoreboard watch territory and then you start sitting some guys. Does it really matter for this Eagles team in this final week? But like we said, the 2 seed really has a lot of juice to it when it comes to what kind of opponent you play. And so I would imagine the incentive is there enough for them to want to win. And that is why I'm going with Philadelphia to win on the road against the Washington Commanders.
I think I'm going to go with an upset alert here, and I think Washington is going to beat Philly. I think that there are some bad vibes in this team, and I think there's been bad vibes all year long. I feel like this is not the real place that the Eagles want to be in going into the end of the year, even though they have been winning games behind their amazing defense, and they have won the last three games. It was against the Raiders, Commanders, and Bills, nonetheless. Still three wins. So, I think that the Washington Commanders are going to catch them out. I think that Philly is going to feel comfortable playing a team that they beat a couple weeks ago. And, yeah, I think the Washington Commanders will come in there and upset them and keep the Eagles at the three seed.
Next up, Texans and Colts in Houston. I don't actually really know. Is Philip Rivers done yet? Or is he going to play one more game? I think it sounded like he was going to play there. He had no more games left this year, but I think
your tone will switch based off of if it is or not.
If it's Philip Rivers' last game, I'm in. I'm all the way in and seeing him swashbuckle himself there down in Houston playing that Texans defense. Texans, by the way, what's at stake? They can win a division with a win and a Jags loss. Texans can get the 5 seed with a win or a Bills-Chargers loss combined. They're all kind of in the same spot. The Texans are in front in line, if that makes sense to you as well. I kind of like the Texans sitting there. I kind of like them being the 5 seed no matter what. They have been humming along on that defensive side, especially in that game against the LA Chargers. You'd imagine they can handle what this Colts team is going to present. Their run game concerns me, though, the Texans. I would imagine their playoffs chances could be hurt by that. But give me the Texans to beat the Colts at home.
Yeah, I think this, regardless of whether this is Phillip Rivers' last game or not, I think that the Houston Texans should run away with this. This was a very good performance, I think, against a Chargers defense that was playing really good over the last couple of weeks. And so I think they'll come in and take care of business. If it is Phillip Rivers' last game, I mean, what a career he had. I think he kind of cemented himself as a Hall of Famer, even though he has extended that period another 5 years.
Give him a special exemption. Get exactly. The exemption out there.
I agree.
Do the right thing, Raj, or whoever.
Or whoever is in charge of that, yeah. Right? I think that you don't want Houston to get a 3 seed. I don't think if you are any team in the AFC, the Texans getting home field advantage will be a very big advantage for them, especially how they are humming. So I have the Houston Texans winning. I have this kind of middle of the road as well. But I think if you're a AFC, just a team of an AFC team or a fan of an AFC team, you don't want the Texans to win their division.
Next up, I don't know why I have it this high, but I love watching this team. The Jaguars and the Titans here in Jacksonville, in Duval. A lot that can come out of this football game. Jags can get the home field with a win and a Broncos and Patriots loss. Jags can get the 2 seed with a win and a Broncos or Patriots loss. Jags can win the division with a win or a Texans loss. The Jags, if they do end up losing and out of the division, can finish no lower than a 5 seed in the AFC playoffs. Titans also at stake, could get a number one pick with a loss and a couple of losses that could go their way, including the Raiders. Cam Ward, you know, another decent, interesting game from him against the New Orleans Saints team, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are as hot as anybody. You know, you talk about the Texans and how hot they have been. Jacksonville's been right there holding serve this whole way through this playoff chase. And so it's been a fun watch to see these two teams really battle it out in the division fight. Jaguars have had the leg up the whole way. And I don't imagine them slowing down against this Titans team. I'd imagine they can find ways to score offensively. Their passing game has been so much better the last few weeks. And I don't see it slowing down against Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't see it slowing down as well. I think the Tennessee Titans will definitely try and play spoiler like they did a couple years back when Jacksonville, all they needed to do was beat lowly Tennessee. And I feel like this is a scenario again where all they have to do is beat lowly Tennessee. But I think this time they will win this game. I think Trevor Lawrence has looked impressive over the last couple of weeks, especially the Broncos game. And I think they're going to just take care of business and win this division. I think they really don't want the Texans to get that division lead. And they'll put a stamp on the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans, I think they will be fighting for a high draft pick.
Next up, Broncos and Chargers is my number four game. Broncos get home field with a win. Pats and Jags loss also gives them that. Chargers are going to get the 5 seed with a win and a Texans loss. Chargers can fall to the 7 seed with a loss. And if the Texans and Bills win, Chargers are kind of currently in that 6th spot. So that's kind of where they sit in terms of that. The Chargers are sitting Justin Herbert. So this news came out before I finished my rankings. So this might probably have dropped it a little lower, but I'm incentivized to watch this game as a Patriots fan. I am rooting for Trey Lance to go get that bag, and I hope he does. And I wish they would win. I'm probably not going to win. I'll pick the Broncos to win it, but I'd be pleasantly surprised if the Chargers can go get that dub.
Yeah, of all the non-consequential games this week, I think this will be the most fun, I think. Denver versus Los Angeles is a game that's always fun, generally. Last time they played, it was a really good game in SoFi Stadium. And so I think Denver, wanting to get the 1 seed, will win this game. Yes, no Justin Herbert does put a damper on this game. But I still think that Denver is going to have a hot hand going into the playoffs.
Who's to say Denver would struggle against Oladokun and Trey Lance certainly could be a little bit better. I mean, there is no given that the Broncos are just going to run away with this football game. So that's what I would say. All right, you know it, the top three. Next up, Steelers-Ravens is my bottom of the top three of the winner-go-home situations on Sunday Night Football. Essentially, winner of this game will win the division and be the AFC 4 seed. And boy, what an interesting situation these two teams find themselves in. There is no good feelings around both of these teams in terms of it. I like the idea, though, that I think just when you think they're out, they're going to find a way to pick themselves up back again. And that's why I think Pittsburgh still has a chance to win this game. It's at Pittsburgh. It's tougher to play there. I just feel like they're going to find a way to make the plays they do. And the Ravens, who looked so good against that Green Bay team last week, just finds a way to flounder it here down the stretch. It feels like the marriage that needs to be separated between John Harbaugh and this crew and whatever Lamar Jackson will present in terms of this game if he plays. But give me the Pittsburgh Steelers to win this division and go on to the playoffs.
Yeah, if Lamar plays, this is my number 2 game. I think that the storyline of either Aaron Rodgers having a last run at the playoffs or Lamar Jackson joining Josh Allen in the playoffs to finally cement their 2 legacies of trying to get in, I think that really is storybook stuff. And so I think if Lamar were to play and Aaron were to play, I think this is my 2nd game of the week. I'm going to assume that they both play, so this is my number 2 game of the week. I think Baltimore, with the game that they had on last week against Green Bay, I think that really gives them the momentum to come in here and win this game. I think DK Metcalf not being in this team really does hurt them more than I even thought they would, just because of what he provides in a bland offense that Arthur Smith plays. So I think Baltimore will win. I think this is the 2nd best game of the week, and I think it's going to be a very entertaining end to the regular season.
Next up, Bucks and Panthers, the 1st game of the week in Saturday. It's in Tampa. What a strange situation if this Falcon team somehow upsets the Rams tonight and then the Bucks win that game on Saturday and then they can't celebrate yet because it's all contingent on the Falcons team and whatever they do against New Orleans. That'd be a very strange situation. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I think it will end up being a winner-take-all game on that Saturday, and that is what is at stake. The NFC 4 seed winner wins the division, and it's been the on-again, off-again Carolina Panthers that we keep looking at in terms of how they play week in and week out. And as we saw, they no-showed with a 54-yard passing performance against that Seattle defense, which we know is good, but my God, that is a pitiful performance on offense. And so when you're so down on the Panthers and so down on this team, right when you think you can count them out, give me Carolina to win this division, because as bad as they were last week, my goodness, Tampa Bay. Here you go. Rip them apart there, Tanvir. Go at it.
It is a systemic issue with this team. I think they have fallen off of a cliff. And sure, you can say that injuries have something to do with it. But my goodness, this team has not been able to play like they have. And we're not just talking about easy wins. They beat Seattle. They beat at Seattle, mind you. They beat San Francisco. And they beat Houston at Houston. So those were really good wins. And they have not been able to replicate that. But with that, all that being said, I think I have to trust Baker Mayfield and company to get it done. I know it goes against the grain that I've been saying all year long. But I think this Panthers team, I don't know if they're ready just yet. And I'm not saying that the Tampa Bay will do anything better in the playoffs, but I think they've been there, done that. In a high-pressure scenario, I think they will get it done.
This reminds me of that, like, winner-take-all Titans-Jags game from, like, a few years ago when the Titans were flailing down the stretch yeah. with Vrabel, and the Jags ended up winning that game in the last minute. It was crazy. All right, we know what it is. Best game of the week, Niners-Seahawks in Santa Clara. Winner of this will win the division, be the one seed. Loser of this game can finish as low as the sixth seed. That is if the Rams win out. So that's what's at stake there. I don't have much to say. I think there's a mistrust factor with Sam Darnold here. What he said, 20 turnovers as a quarterback this year, which is a shocking amount, an alarming amount if you count the interceptions and fumbles together. I know the Niners don't force turnovers, but I think their offense certainly has a firepower that is hard to match. But then again, I said this with the Rams game a couple weeks ago, that I thought simply the Rams can just outscore the Seahawks and win that game. And then what did Seattle do? Win by a point. Do I trust that the Niners have that ability as well? I think they do. I don't think lightning strike twice for the Seattle Seahawks. I think the 49ers will win the division. I think they will take home field advantage, and they will end up as the one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, this is clearly the best game of the week, and it's beautiful that the one seed is being competed with by two of probably the five best teams in the NFL this year. I think San Francisco, when they play Seattle, I think all of the metrics kind of fall off, and it's just a divisional rivalry that's going to be who wants it more. And I feel like San Francisco, without all of their with all their injuries, they're going to play a great team in Seattle and win this game.
There you go, and that is your Benatti Blitz for Week 18. A lot of games. Can't wait for them. All right, let's wrap up the show next. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Last show, 2025. Before we send it off into 2026, every year it always gets weird to change that up. Tanvir, how long does it take before you start realizing it's the new year? Like 26 in the date?
Like it used to be like a week.
Yeah.
But I feel like now it's getting a little longer, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do the weird thing where it's 2025 and I put 26.
Okay.
Maybe I'm weird like that.
I don't know. I just sit there. I'm like, I remember 2011. And I'm like, having a tough time with 2026. Anyways, hope everyone's going to have a good holiday New Year's stuff. We got all the bowl games going on. Just a reminder for the schedule. I don't got a schedule in front of me. I would assume bowl games throughout. College football playoff, all of that. It's going to be happening all week. Be sure to check your listings on that. I would imagine we're going to have the Niner game. We're going to have both games on the Saturday locally as well on 1430. You'll have the Panthers and the Bucks. We'll have the Niners and the Seahawks, I would imagine. I imagine on the Sunday we'll have the Rams game. I imagine we'll have the Raider game for you in terms of that. By the way, speaking of Rams, Tanvir, we got a nice special giveaway at me and Ed's tonight. Major wager, which I'm going to head over to with the Rams and the Falcons game. You can win a pair of tickets to a Rams game next Sunday against the Cardinals. If you're trying to get to a Rams game before the playoffs, we're giving away a pair of tickets there at me and Ed's Victory Grill. Should be a fun. Hey, SoFi Stadium, that's a nice spot. Love watching a game there. So you've been to a game yet or at SoFi yet or no?
I've been to SoFi, not for a game, but I have been to SoFi before.
Yeah, no. It's a good time. Plus,
Soon.
Who knows? Anyways, I wanted to revisit real quickly before we sign off this playoff committee we decided to do. Tanvir, I've made some revisions. We originally had the Rams, the Seahawks, the Broncos, and the Niners at the 1-4 seed, and then we seeded everybody else in terms of their resume. I made some changes. Here's what I got from 1-12, and the top four get the bye real quick. My revisions say the Niners are now my new number one, even though the Seahawks have a better record right now. I'm just going to put it there. Seattle's the two. They stay as the two. I'm putting the Rams down to three. I'm knocking down the Broncos. They're going to go down. I have the Jags at four in the original Niners position. I have the Jags at four. Jags are above the Broncos due to the head-to-head. I have the Jags at five. No opposition just quite yet. Feels pretty sound so far.
Yeah, it's pretty sound so far.
New England stays at six. They don't move up. They don't move down. I think they are in the right spot with the 13-3 record. 7 seed, I have Chicago. This was the toughest one I had to figure out where Chicago goes. But at 12-5, I feel like, or 11-5, I think that's kind of where they sit for me. I have Philly at 8. I have Houston at 9. I have the Bills at 10 below Houston. I have the Chargers at 11. And I put in the Carolina Panthers at 12 over potentially the Packers, who were kind of that team that was swirling around there. Is there an objection to the Panthers being in and the Packers being up for our playoff committee here?
The objections that I have is I would have Houston higher.
Okay.
And I would probably remove Carolina for Green Bay.
Okay.
I would.
I just would argue the head-to-head in terms of Carolina beating Green Bay this year.
No, for sure.
But that's my...
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, no, you know what? Then I think you're right then.
That
I
is just Carolina my one... Yeah.
You have convinced me, but I still think Houston should be higher.
So Houston, 8 and Philly, 9?
No, I would actually go Houston, 7.
And Chicago, where...
Chicago...
8?
Would go...
Because Chicago has the head-to-head over Philly.
No, I would keep... Yeah, true. Yeah, I'd go Philly 8, and then I'd go Chicago 9, I think.
Wow, Chicago...
Or maybe swap those two, but I would have Houston ahead of both of them.
So Houston 7, Chicago 8, Philly 9.
Yeah.
So if we did that... Let me just visualize that real quick. Let me put Philly where it is. Philly. And then we would put Chicago as the 8 spot. And then we would have Houston down there at the 7.
Yep.
So what would our opening matchups be in the playoffs if we had the playoff selection committee? How about Carolina at Denver to open the playoffs, Tanvir, and the winner would play on Jacksonville in Duval? That sounds like a fun part of the bracket, right?
That's a – I don't know, man. That's probably the worst part of the bracket if I'm being for real.
How about the Eagles at Bears to open and winner goes to the San Francisco?
That's a good trio right there.
How about the Chargers at the Patriots? Winner goes to the Rams.
Another good trio.
And then the Bills at Houston and the winner goes to Seattle.
Hey, another good trio. I think we said this last time. Maybe this should be the way to do it.
Come on, Raj. If we're all going to be subjective here,
exactly.
Let's make it completely subjective. Not in some arbitrary divisional, geographical, whatever layouts we have. That would just cause chaos. NFL fans would lose their mind if there was a playoff selection.
Oh, my goodness. A Super Bowl's on the line, and you didn't put us in.
But the strength of schedule of the Patriots. I'd be arguing like crazy to the high heavens. All right, Tanvir. Next time we're on air, it'll be a new year. So,
yeah.
Good show. Hopefully, I think we're going to be in Santa Clara in a few days.
Yeah.
Barring the emails, all that stuff, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Hey, good year.
Good year
this year for Behind the Bench.
We'll see you in 2026 on Monday for another edition. Until then, head over to me and Ed's major wager, final major wager of the season, Rams and Falcons, coming up next on 1430. We'll be back Monday. Have a great new year.